mercy, your hand upon our lives, Lord. Thank you for this congregation. God, thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. Father, thank you for your Holy Spirit that comforts us and helps us in our time of need. God, we just lift up all those that are suffering from this pandemic. God, we just pray for your mercy and grace upon them. Lord, we just pray that, Lord, you help them to rise above it. We pray you clear their lungs, you strengthen their bones, Lord, and we pray you give our doctors and nurses great, great wisdom as we deal with this scourge upon our lives, upon the world, Lord. And we just pray as you work, as you pour your spirit, God, that you be glorified in this time, in this day, because you love us. You have a plan for us, and your perfect plan is working out. Even though we tend to get discouraged in the moment, God, we know we can be strong and have great courage because of you, Lord. So we thank you for that truth. Go before us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Okay, so since we can't get up and hug, why don't we turn around and nod and acknowledge each other right now? Good morning, good morning, good morning. So glad you're here. You know, this is so much better. I love the sanctuary, but this is so much better because I can see your faces. I can see your eyes. You know, with the mass, we're learning to read eyes now. Have you noticed that? You know, you can tell when someone has that kind of happy squint. Like they're smiling, but we can't see their full face, but we can see their eyes. I think men are better at looking in eyes than, or women are better looking in eyes than men, because I don't know, men are always embarrassed or something. I don't know what that is, but we are forced to look at each other's eyes now. I think that's a blessing, right? Because I think we have to find a way to connect. And so maybe the mass are helping with that. I don't know. I don't know if there's anything spiritual about that. But we are so glad. Margaret and I are so blessed to be here. Margaret and I have been praying for this for 7 years. Okay, this is not an overnight thing where we got a call and can you show up. This is God working in our lives, bringing us here to you to be your interim, temporary pastor, whatever you want to call it, but nevertheless, we are blessed beyond measure because we think about you guys all week. We pray about you guys as the Lord gives us the study to share. You're an integral part of our life Sunday through Saturday. And because of that, we're blessed. And so we thank you. This is a privilege that we get to do this. You know, I was at Calvary Chapel, South Bay, for 10 years on staff. And about 5 years into my service there, our senior pastor got us, all the pastors together. There was about 16 of us on staff. And it was a big church. And one day in our meeting room, he said, "How many of you pastors are spiritually discontented?" And my hand just shot up. Like, what are you doing? You know, I was the only one of the 16. And I'm like, really? And it's like, okay, truth time. Yeah, I'm spiritually discontented. But what that meant was the Holy Spirit was driving me to this calling. My heart is to teach. And I will, the verse today, if you brought your Bible, we're in Ephesians 5. The Lord drives me to do this, to stand, to sit, to be a part of sharing Christ with people. Okay, that's what we do in ministry. It's really that simple. And whatever form that takes, this is very formal, you know, relatively formal right now, but I love a conversational, it's what I call a conversational Bible. And a conversational gospel where, you know, you're just talking like to a neighbor and Jesus comes up, your faith comes up, maybe your health condition comes up, and you insert Jesus into the conversation. You know what I'm talking about? Give me a nod if you know what I'm talking about. Thank you. And so it's conversational, you know what I'm saying? Where you're just sharing Christ as a matter of who you are in Christ. And it's what identifies us. It's a different language, isn't it? We speak. But it's not a higher education language. It's not a, you know, hearsay language. It's certainly not a worldly language. It's the language of love. That for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And that language, the way the Holy Spirit affects the way we speak, is what identifies us. You know, in the working world, in the world especially with non-Christians, non-believers, what's it about? It's about gossip. It's about, you know, language that you wouldn't want a child to hear. It's about all these off-color jokes and things, right? And we have to tolerate that to a certain degree, but we don't give into it, do we? We're in the world, but we're not of it. And so that difference, that when we're standing, how many times you walk into a room and you notice that the group that's talking and gossiping and using improper language, they clean themselves up. That's like one of the ultimate compliments you can get, is like you're forcing them to a degree to change their behavior, because hopefully out of respect for you and that you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you're bringing light into that room. All of that to say, this verse today is, I'm titling it Giving Thanks, because we're heading into, this is Thanksgiving week. Boy, we noticed the difference with the traffic. It's about four times busier on the 8 today, just coming in. And despite the curfew and everything, you know, everybody is still moving and on the road. But I've titled this Giving Thanks because I want to take a biblical look at Thanksgiving, okay? The verses in here in Ephesians 5 are verses 18, the end of 18, so 18b through 21. Ephesians 5, 18b through 21. Let me read it to you. And if you could turn your phones off, that'd be great. But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. You know how we talk about life verses? This is one of mine. Okay. And I didn't pick it because of that. I picked it because right in the heart of it, it's about giving thanks. And it's giving thanks for a God who loves us so much. And our founders were able to acknowledge the importance of giving thanks. Some tidbits, some fun facts about Thanksgiving. The first Thanksgiving was celebrated in 1621 over a three-day harvest fest. Boy, I wish we could celebrate Thanksgiving for 3 days. I guess with leftovers and everything, that kind of counts, doesn't it? It included 50 pilgrims and 90 Wampanoag Indians. Lasted 3 days. It is believed by historians that only 5 women were present. I don't know why. Turkey wasn't on the menu at the first Thanksgiving. It was about venison, duck, goose, oysters, lobster, eel, yummy, and fish were likely served alongside pumpkins and cranberries, but no pumpkin pie or cranberry sauce. They missed out on that. And where's the mashed potatoes and the biscuits, you know? But maybe that came later. Abraham Lincoln proclaimed Thanksgiving a national holiday on October 3rd, 1863. He was prompted by a woman named Sarah Josepha Hale. She was the woman that wrote Mary Had a Little Lamb. Interesting enough. I love trivia stuff like this. But she convinced Lincoln to make Thanksgiving a national holiday, but it didn't happen overnight. It took her 17 years to convince him this should be a national holiday. Praise God for persistence. Like my dad and Calvin Coolidge used to say, persistence is omnipotent. You know, and thank God she did. She hung in there for 17 years. So again, we're in Ephesians 5, 18 through 21. Our title is Giving Thanks. And we got 3 points here. Hopefully you can carry out with you today. Number one, be filled full with the Holy Spirit. Be thankful for Jesus and be fearful of God. So you see the Trinity in here, right? The three persons of the triune God. And that's what's going to come through, I pray, in these scriptures. Contextually, this is in Ephesians 5, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, because Ephesians 5, we use a lot in counseling because it goes back to basics, which is something you may have noticed I'm trying to do here, is get us established in the Word of God, being prompted by the Holy Spirit on just how to deal with this season in our lives. So Ephesians 5, if you read it in a study Bible, it's designated by walking in love, walking in the light, and walking in wisdom, what the Bible calls this great word, circumspectly. So in the paragraph where this verse is found, it's about walking in wisdom, or the term circumspectly. Ephesians 5:15, just before this, says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." And again, like I was talking about, as we are walking through this world, and you hear the language of the world, the attitudes of the world, perhaps, the people that are given over to fear right now because of everything they watch in the news and social media, and you know, the what's going on with the election and of course COVID and all of that, the natural man is going to be given over to fear right now. And if we can see this as our opportunity, church, to break through that fear with the love of God, listen for those opportunities, okay? Just to share the peace that you have in this moment. Pray on the spot and say, "Lord, give me a word for this person. Give me a piece of the gospel that they can hold on to at least think about, so that they can overcome." You can break down that wall of fear for them so that they can draw closer to God, and we pray get saved. Amen? So that's how we walk in wisdom. The word circumspectly here in the Greek is akrobos, which means exactly, accurately, and diligently. And the only other time it's used is in Matthew 2:8 in the Christmas story. "And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go search carefully,'" that's the word, "carefully, for the young child." Who's that? Baby Jesus, right? "And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also." Okay, so that's what the shepherds had to do to find a baby Jesus, was to search carefully. All of our lives, before we were Christians, we're walking through this life trying to figure out what life's all about, and maybe ignoring signs along the way that God was knocking on our hearts to cause us to see how great he is. But when he comes alongside you and you hear the gospel and all comes together, you're able to see his wisdom and his perfect plan for you personally to unfold. So the context of this chapter essentially is about being wise and understanding the will of the Lord, not being drunk with wine, but being filled with the Spirit, it says, right? Wisdom, then, is being filled with God's Spirit. And what's the fruit of that? It's the joy and the peace that we have in walking with the Lord, that our lives are a reflection of the love of Christ. And so that even one of the most challenging times in our lives with COVID and the uncertainty of the future, even of our nation, we still have joy. We have a peace that surpasses all understanding because we are anxious for nothing. Whatever the world throws at us, you know, in Brother Don's prayer list, you know, all the people that we're losing family and friends, and or they're suffering from COVID, or you know, just different health problems. And you know, when you're in the hospital, you're not thinking about what's going on outside your hospital room. You're thinking about, am I going to recover from this? Is God going to see me through this, or is this it? You know, and the family's questioning the same. All those things are going on. But at the same time, God, by his grace and his comfort, he's meeting you right there in that moment because he loves you so much. And he holds you through that time. It's powerful. The calling here is to be filled full with the Holy Spirit, our first point. And we have to acknowledge one of the mysteries of the Bible is we serve a triune God, right? Elohim. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God, in the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth, right? That Elohim in Hebrew is a plural name, okay? In and of itself, it's plural, and it's speaking of who? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but one God, right? Ephesians 4:6, the chapter before, in Ephesians 5, says there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in y'all. He was from the south. And as we take that to heart, it should be clear that is the Trinity, which the Bible teaches clearly that God is Father and Son and Holy Spirit. So when we pray, and if you're ever confused about that, it's still a mystery. How could God be three persons? You know, the cults challenge that and everything. We believe it by faith. We believe it because the Bible says so in Genesis 1:1. And so let the truth of the Bible strengthen you in that moment and just say, Lord, I don't understand how Jesus getting baptized can be, you know, the Spirit came down like a dove and the Father speaks, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. How can all that happen and you be one God? I don't know. We believe it by faith. You know, I can't fully explain the Trinity. I just believe it in my heart. And what helps is I see Father God is my Father in heaven. I can pray to my Father because Jesus made a way, like we talked about last time, on the access that Jesus gave us to pray directly to the Father. But I also know I am filled with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, remember, it's better that I leave so the Comforter can come. Why? Because now I'm going to be even more personal than I've ever been. I've been with you guys for 3 years, Jesus walking with the disciples, but you don't understand yet, because Pentecost hadn't happened yet, it's actually going to be better. I'm going to live inside of you now. How? Because we're born again. John 3:3, unless you are born again, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. We have to have the Spirit of God living inside of us. Without the Spirit, we're doing this on our own. We're doing this on our own strength. Okay? The Lord would not have been driving Margaret and I for the past 7 years to stand up here in the heat and do this, you know. But we do this because we love the Lord our God. We do this because we love you. We want to be a part of this love story and everything that God's doing even in this crazy time. Verse 18, but be filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is, Jesus described him, as I said, as the Comforter. That's the Parakletos of the Holy Spirit is destined to take the place of Christ with the apostles after his ascension to the Father to lead them to a deeper knowledge of the gospel, truth, and give them divine strength needed to enable them to undergo trials and persecutions on behalf of the divine kingdom. Okay, so you're reading the Bible. And you're coming to a difficult passage that you're just not comprehending it the first time you read it, and you pray. The Bible is a spiritual book. Okay, it's not a textbook. It's not a history book. Yes, there's history in there. Yes, there's text in there. But this is God's word to us, right? Of how good God is. Of his plan for us, of the future and the hope that we have in him. And It should be. Its intention for us is to give us courage and strength and comfort and help us in our time of need. And it does. But we have to overcome our own limitations as physical beings. We gather, yes, physically, right now. Okay? We gather physically, but this is a spiritual moment. And I've been praying for this service that it be different, in that God's Holy Spirit pour out upon us right now. I'd like you to close your eyes and bow your heads and ask for God's Holy Spirit to come upon you right now. Father in heaven, thank you for your Holy Spirit, God. We ask for a fresh outpouring in this moment. God, help us to just draw closer to you. We acknowledge and know you are here right now, God, and you have a great work for your church to do. So we pray for boldness, we pray for strength and courage, whatever you need us to do your work and share the love of Jesus, God. So help us. Help us remember this moment, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for that. The Holy Spirit works in three different ways. The first is called the para. That's the coming alongside. Before you heard the gospel of how much Jesus loved you and he died for your sins and you turned from your sins and you receive him in your heart, you believe he died and was risen from the dead and ascended into heaven, is at the right hand of the Father. You believe everything that the gospel teaches us. But before you receive him, there's that para moment, that coming alongside. And he starts knocking on your heart. And you realize this, you're just about to make an important decision to receive Christ or walk away and say no. The only unforgivable sin is rejecting the gospel. But when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then he takes on another form. He comes, the N, he comes inside of you. So para and N in the Greek. And when he comes inside of you, he changes you. He changes the way you look at life. He changes the way you act towards others. He changes. You're a new creation in Christ. You're a totally different person. When I was seeking and I heard the gospel, I was at the Arrowhead Pond, a Honda Center now, in 1998 at a business meeting, 17,000 people with keynote speakers. But it was formed by Christians. Zig Ziglar was one of the motivational speakers, and Peter Lowe was the young guy who organized the whole thing, brought in all these blue chip speakers, and they're all talking about life and how to be motivated, how to get a better life, and all this information, and I'm taking copious notes, and I am seeking. I didn't know why I was there, but I'm sitting right next to my boss, who's become my best friend now, and right in the middle of this, the organizer said, okay, we're going to take a 14-minute break. And for anybody who wants to leave, you're welcome to leave. But we're going to give out he said something politically correct, like a religious message right now. So several people leave, but most people stayed. And it was the first time I heard the gospel in this sports arena of all places. And when I heard it, I just said, I need this, because my life was just going down. And it was my life preserver. Jesus preserved my life. And when I heard that message of hope, I just said, I need this. I got to take it in. So I received the gospel. And they said, if you receive the gospel, go pick up, dating myself, audio cassette of Zig Ziglar's testimony. I listened to that thing for 3 days, over and over and over in my car. One day, the third day, I'm driving to a client, and I heard Romans 10:9. For if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And I grabbed that verse and took it in. I said, yes, I believe it. And I was driving through Eagle Rock. Anybody here know where Eagle Rock is? It's northeast of Los Angeles, near Glendale, between Pasadena and Glendale. And I'm driving on the freeway, and the Holy Spirit filled me from my toes to my head, like filling a glass with water. And I'm just, it was like being born again, because I was born again. And it was so powerful. I'm seeing trees flittering in the wind, like they were clapping their hands, Psalm says, celebrating this new birth. And my life has never been the same since. And God, I had a lot of work to do, but God, step by step, he helped me find a whole new life. And here we are. And our hearts are filled full because of the Holy Spirit. So you have the para and the en, he comes inside of you, and then you have the epi, which is the overflowing of the Holy Spirit. And that's when we just prayed, that's what I was praying for, that all of you that have the Holy Spirit can be overflowed by the love of God, so that we are driven, church, to pray for everyone on that list that Don prayed for, everyone that's suffering, everyone in this community, our neighbors, the drug culture here, the students that our schools open up again, for goodness sakes, all those that are on the front line that are dealing with death every day, our leaders. Pray for the salvation of our leaders, okay? What a difference it would make if our governor got saved, okay? That's God's heart for that man. Pray for him. And, of course, our president and everyone else. We pray for their salvation. So let that epi moment, that overflowing, pray for it, ask for it. And as you do, let God throw you into service. And let's see what God's going to do. We feel like this church has tremendous potential. Yes, we've been around 130 years here. Okay. But in God's timing, that's barely a drop in the bucket, right? You know, in terms of eternity and God's perfect plan. Maybe he whittled us down to this core, like Gideon's 300. You're Gideon's 30, okay, whatever. And God can do a lot with a few, can't he? Nothing's impossible for God. So when you think about First Baptist El Centro, just think, gee, I hope this church makes it through COVID. No. Think about, I can't wait to see what God's going to do in this church with a few people that love the Lord and can't wait for Monday morning when you go to work, when you just do life. Do it in a way that we pray is guided and directed and provided by his Holy Spirit. Acts 13:52 says, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. And this was after they were persecuted. Persecution is not something we know here in the American church. We're clueless. We used to say we live in Disneyland. Disneyland's closed now. But, you know, we don't live in reality in terms of persecution and what the church historically has had to go through, right? We have a very comfortable Christianity, don't we? But it's not so comfortable, is it now? God is stretching us, right? God is stretching the church in the United States of America, maybe not since like the founding of Thanksgiving and those days when they came to the table and were thankful to God because they didn't know where the next meal was going to come from. They had to grow everything. Talk about sustainable farming. You know, that was their livelihood. And yet they were able to recognize God in that moment. Daniel was acknowledged by Nebuchadnezzar as being a man filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, for the Spirit of the Holy God is in you. Nebuchadnezzar, in his ways, all consumed with himself and his ego and his power, was able to acknowledge something different about Daniel and Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and in that they were different. And he respected them And Daniel was able to plant seeds that later led to actually to Nebuchadnezzar's salvation. But it was the Holy Spirit in Daniel that made the difference. John the Baptist, Jesus, Paul, the disciples all had the Holy Spirit driving them. I mean, when you read Acts, you sense how driven Paul was. And Peter and all the other apostles as well that were establishing the early church. And what we're praying today is God pour out his Spirit upon us so we can have a heart to serve in boldness. Joel 2:28, you know this, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. Margaret and I are hearing stories of people having dreams and visions. We know a missionary in Greece, and when the refugees were coming out of Iraq and crossing the border, there was missionaries there at the border of Greece welcoming them and telling them about Jesus, giving them the gospel. And they would say, oh yeah, I know all about Jesus. I saw him last night in my dream. And he shared the gospel with me, and I received him. You know, that is taking place in our world today, church. So let's see what God's doing. Verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You know, I said this was like a life verse, and every time I read this, I think, Lord, that's where I want to be in my walk with you. I want to have a song in my heart. And I want to be able to separate my thought life from the world and watching the news and getting angry or just being separated in a way that, in a place, let's say, that I don't want to be in my mind. And I, you know, our lives are a constant correction, aren't they? And we have these hearts that are desperately wicked. We constantly have to correct and say, God, help me. I don't want to go there. I don't want to go to that place in my mind. Help me with that. And that takes spiritual maturity, doesn't it? As you walk with the Lord, the sinful nature doesn't go away. Life is a constant matter of repentance. And I've talked about, you know, making small corrections much better than making big corrections, right? But when you have psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and you're making melody in your heart, that's the joy that we pray for. That's how you know you're a child of God, is when no matter what you're going through in your temporary circumstances, you're able to rise above it because God's put a song in your heart and God is strengthening you in that moment. And that's what keeps it fresh. That's what keeps our walk with the Lord fresh. I prayed early on as a baby Christian, I think I've told you, is that, Lord, I never want to get stale. I never want to get religious. I never want to take you for granted. I never want to look at the word as, oh, I read that. You know, yeah, I've heard all that before. Margaret and I, our devotion life is blessed because we read the Bible through every year. And we are amazed every time we go through, we find something new. And that's the eternal, holy Word of God working in our heart and meeting us in that moment. And we love it. We love our devotional life together because it's fresh. And it keeps our walk with Jesus fresh. It keeps our walk with each other fresh. It keeps this moment right here fresh. You know, Christianity should never be boring. And forgive me if I ever bore you, if I get long-winded. But I love doing this. And after I'm done, I can't wait till the next time that I get to do this. But this is a privilege. And I want to be conscious of your time because I'm running late. If we want to start setting up the food, I'm going to try to wrap this up. So keep that in mind, food team. Okay, but I'm going to keep this moving. Psalm 149:1 says, praise to God for his salvation and judgment. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song and his praise in the assembly of saints. What a blessing to have live worship today. That was sweet. And if we can continue to do that, if we can continue to gather as a body of Christ, God's going to do something here. Now, maybe we're not going to be able to meet like this every Sunday. We are going to try to, of course, have a Christmas event the Sunday. That's December 20th. So please save that date because we're going to try to do something similar. Pray that God puts a song in your heart and affects your attitude as a Christian. We all have a spiritual attitude that's really measured in the verse Mark 12:30, which says, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." There's not much left over, is there? That's everything we've got. And that's a life challenge, isn't it? Is to love God in every moment, in every facet of our life. But I need help with that. We all need help with that. We need the Holy Spirit to, in our trials, in our challenges of life, not to go to anger or discouragement or frustration or whatever our flesh wants to do. We rise above it, pray, and say, "God, help me with this because I don't know what you're doing in my life right now. I don't understand this, God." And usually he says to me, "Okay, step back. You've got to trust me now with all your heart. And because I'm doing a work here that you can't see. This is a test of your faith, maybe. This is a test of your resolve. Do you really believe?" How many times have you been tested in your faith where you've been so challenged, it's like God saying, "Okay, do you really believe, sister? Do you really believe?" And I pray the answer is always yes. But sometimes there's a delay, isn't there? It's like, "Wow, God, this is a tough one." and that in that moment, I just ask myself, "Okay, just be still so I can hear his still voice. Just be quiet. You know, shut out the noise of the sorrow if you've lost someone. Shut out the noise of, you know, what's going on in the world and wondering how we're going to be affected by it. Just say, Lord, you're in control. You've got this." Ben Carson is just recovering from COVID. I don't know if you read that. And he went through a really difficult time. But during his recovery, he's a believer. You know, he was praying and he said, "You know, even though it was a struggle, I knew God was in control. I never lost my faith." And that's encouraging. So maybe God is going to use Ben Carson's COVID experience to encourage us. Because some of us still may get it, and we pray not, but God is greater. So think about your attitude spiritually when it comes to the things of God and your hearts for others, and especially as we head into Thanksgiving. What is our attitude coming into Thanksgiving and Christmas? Oh, it's not going to be the same. You know, we have to limit our gathering, and we... like the governor said, we have to take off our masks and chew and then put our masks back on. I wonder if he's going to do that. I wonder. Second point. Wow, I am really running late today. Be thankful for Jesus, okay? When we gather and we see our blessings on the table and our blessings around the table, I pray we're all able to experience that Thanksgiving moment. And we say grace and we acknowledge God for his love and his mercy and his provision in our life. Be thankful for Jesus because God sent him to save us of our sins so that we could go to heaven and that we could partake in his holy realm. Something in our physical beings is practically impossible for us to imagine. And the only glimpse we get of it is in the Bible, in the Word of God, but also the Holy Spirit when he comforts us in those difficult moments and we sense his touch. If you've never sensed that calming touch of God, we're going to ask for that, okay? We're going to draw close to God when we finish in prayer, if I ever finish, and ask God for a fresh outpouring of his Holy Spirit. Thanksgiving, the word Thanksgiving is mentioned 49 times in the Bible. In the Hebrew, it means confession, praise, and thanksgiving. In the Greek, it means thankfulness. And so, again, I pray when we're gathered around the table on Thursday that we're full of thankfulness and we're full of the joy that God, by His Holy Spirit, has put in our hearts. And we're thankful for Jesus because He makes a difference in our lives. He gave us reconciliation with the Father and redemption and a fellowship we didn't have before we were born again, and helps us to live right by Him, a righteous life, not self-righteousness, God righteousness, Christ righteousness. Think of it that way. And a servant's heart. I'd like to lift up Victor and Paul and Jesse and everyone that served here today. We could not do this without these guys. And they are so faithful. And we are so blessed to have all the stuff that they do behind the scenes that nobody sees, but God sees it. And Lord, in Jesus' name, I just thank You for the team that helps us every single week to do the work of the ministry. Bless them beyond measure and their families. Keep them healthy, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I was reminded of Nehemiah. You know, when Nehemiah was building the walls, how he just pray on the fly. I love that. I love how he did that. Okay, third point. I finally got there. Be fearful of God. The verse says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. That is about submission. We talked about the order, the military term of submission. You know, we all submit to Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands. And husbands, die for your wives. That whole relationship that is further described in here in Ephesians 5. Philippians 2:3 says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. You're not going to hear that in your schoolrooms, in public school. You're not going to hear that, especially in the university level. It's all about self-esteem, self-aggrandizement, self-ishness, right? Jesus turns that upside down and says it's not about you. You got to die to yourself. And you have to put others first. That's when God changes your heart, isn't it? He helps you take your eyes off yourself and look to others and say, Lord, how can I help this person? One of the greatest questions you can ask somebody is, how can I pray for you? Because you're going to take their situation to God. Oh, my goodness. That's the ultimate thing you can do. So never feel like in all this isolation and all this difficulty that you can't serve the Lord. You can pray. We can all pray, okay? There's no excuse for us not to pray. So please keep that in mind. But we do it in the fear of God. Psalm 130, verse 4 says, but there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. So forgiveness, God's forgiveness for us and the fear of God go hand in hand. Because He loves us so much, He sent Jesus to save us. And now we fear, in other words, we revere and are in awe of a holy God who has a beautiful plan for mankind. And all we have to do is believe. Jesus did the work on the cross. The work is finished. The work is completed, right? Praise God. And now He's put us in a place to make a decision. God gave us the most dangerous thing of all. He gave us free will. But love is a free will decision, isn't it? If we were all robots, right, and we all just said, okay, God, you know, I'm going to go through this life and I'm going to praise You, but there was no heart, there was no love in it, that's a dead religion, really, is what it is. But God gave us a heart and a mind. We don't turn our minds off when we become Christians. It's the fulfillment of God's plan in our heart, in our minds, to see a God that loves us and want to serve Him, revere and be in awe of Him, of a holy God that loves us so much that He would send His Son for us. See how all that works? Forgiveness is tied to fear here in Psalm 130, verse 4. Hebrews 12:28, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For God is a consuming fire. That's a healthy fear of God. Like I said, never take for granted our salvation. Shame on me if I ever do that. Proverbs 1:7, for the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I was a fool in the world, but now I'm a fool for Jesus. Amen? And that's okay. So when you're giving thanks this Thursday, please keep these things in mind. Ask God's Spirit to fall afresh upon you and see God's triune nature, the Trinity, as a blessing. And be filled full with the Holy Spirit and know pure joy in your life. Be thankful for Jesus and remember his love for you every day. Never take it for granted. And thirdly, be fearful of God and ask God for new Harley. No. Ask God to put others first. Okay? And he will bless that request. Let's close our eyes and we'll pray and we'll wrap this up. Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the patience of these saints, God. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that's alive and in us right now because of Jesus' finished work at the cross. Thank you for the gospel, Lord. We know we were born in sin, but while we're yet sinners, Christ died for our sins. And if we believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. So we thank you for the simplicity of the gospel. Thank you that you first loved us. And God, now you're giving us an opportunity to love you right back and be a part of what you're doing here on earth right now. You said in your word that now is the day of salvation. Today is the day. If you're sitting here right now, God can meet you where you're at. If you're asking God to fall afresh upon you, he can meet you where you're at. If you need to overcome some kind of bondage or a certain sin, God can help you and meet you where you're at right now. If you'd like to ask God into your heart and be born again, just repeat this simple prayer after me. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I ask you to forgive me, Lord, of all my sins. Give me a brand new heart. Baptize me in your Holy Spirit. I accept you as my Savior and my Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. If you received the Lord just now, please, please come up.